Well, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and especially to the ladies
who represent our local LWML, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's message comes to us from Luke chapter 17 and focusing in on two verses, 5 and 6. The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith like a grain of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." Well, those of you who have ever had the experience of serving on a building committee understand that there are many problems that can come along with that. And I want to share with you a story about one particular building committee. This was a small congregation, and they had built a new church on a piece of land that was left them by a church member. And 10 days before the church was to open, the local building inspector informed the pastor that unless a number of parking spaces doubled, they would not be able to use the new church. It's interesting to me that they make sure that you have a number of parking spaces that are correct. Well, unfortunately, the new building had used up every square inch except for a rather steep hill that was behind their church. So in order to build more parking spaces, they were going to have to move that hill. And there's where you come in, Dick, with your bulldozer. Grade that hill down, right? Well, that didn't happen right away. They would have to have something done. And unfortunately, again, all the open space had been used up. But the pastor announced, he was undaunted, he was going to, next Sunday morning, meet with anybody who would pray with him, who had what we call a mountain-moving faith. And they would hold that prayer session, and they would ask God to remove that mountain from the backyard and for someone to provide enough money to have it paved before the scheduled opening dedicated service. And so at that appointed time, 24 of the members of that congregation, which numbered about 300, they assembled for prayer. They prayed for nearly 3 hours. And then at 10 o'clock, the pastor said the final amen. And we'll open next Sunday as scheduled, he assured everyone. God has never let us down before, and I believe that he would be faithful this time also. And so that Monday morning, following the church services, pastor was in his office, he was working, and there came a knock on the door. And a rough-looking construction foreman entered. And he told the reverend, "Excuse me, sir," he said, "I'm a construction from a certain construction company. We are building a large shopping mall. And we need some fill dirt. In fact, heaps of fill dirt. Would you be willing to sell us a chunk of that rocky hill behind the church? We'll pay you for the dirt we remove, and we will pave all the exposed parking area. And guess what? Free of charge. We need to do this now to allow it to settle properly. And so the little church was dedicated that next Sunday as they originally planned. Wow. You know, when you hear that story, you might say this is exactly what Jesus was talking about when he said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, "Be uprooted and planted in the sea," and it would obey you. What is Jesus telling us? Well, through faith, what can we do? We can move mountains. But is that right? Is that a correct conclusion to this story? Was it their mountain of moving faith at or the length of time that they spent in prayer? seeking God's wisdom. Were those 24 people superheroes of faith? And so they were able to move mountains? Well, in our scripture reading for today, we find out the disciples were also facing their own mountains that needed to be removed. In previous verses before this, Jesus had been talking about the effect that sin has on our lives. He warns us that anyone who causes another person to sin would be better off if he had a huge rock tied around his neck and thrown overboard somewhere in the deepest part of the ocean or the sea. And so this worried the disciples, and quite rightly so. Who of us perhaps has not caused someone to sin? Who hasn't said and done things that have caused others to be hurt, feel alienated or angry or hateful or unforgiving? And if that weren't enough, Jesus goes on to say, if your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times saying, I repent, what are we supposed to do? We must forgive him. And that is a very difficult thing to ask someone, to rebuke someone whose lifestyle perhaps doesn't reflect their position as a child of the Lord. But Jesus goes on to say even more. When a person says he or she is sorry, Jesus says there is to be no limit to the number of times we are to forgive that person. Very possibly he could be asking for forgiveness for the same or a similar sin that has done over and over and over again. But our Lord tells us in no uncertain terms, you must forgive him. And that kind of forgiveness goes right against what I call our human nature. You know, if that person who keeps on offending us doesn't deserve forgiveness, and yet Jesus pronounces some very severe consequences for those who can't overcome their need for revenge and be forgiving. And the disciples had a problem. You might say they had their own mountain that needed moving. Because in this passage, they recognize their own sinfulness and their failure to live up to their calling as people who belong to God, and the disciples who claim to follow their master and to do his will. And so they came to Jesus that day with all of this on their minds to tell and ask the Lord, increase our faith. Give us a greater amount of faith so that we will be able to do the things that you have asked us to do. They felt that any increase in their faith would let them move that mountain of sin and was getting in the way of them being very faithful disciples. But what does Jesus do? How did he answer this prayer? Does he lay his hands on them and pray and give them more faith? Does he snap his fingers and grant them a double dose of his spirit and faith? Does he give them that mountain-moving faith so that they could remove all obstacles that got in their way? And the answer, of course, is no. But here's what he does instead. If you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. What is Jesus' point? Well, he's telling them, I've already given you faith. Even a tiny faith, the size of a mustard seed, is enough as far as God is concerned. You know, the size of our faith does not matter to God because God is the one that would do the moving. As Mr. Erickson pointed out, it's not us. It is the power of Almighty God. If it is our faith that moved the mountain, then the bigger mountain, the more faith we would need to move that mountain. The bigger obstacle, the more strength we need to climb it. The more serious the illness, A faith even greater would be required to overcome it. The more serious the sin, the more faith that we would need in order to have it forgiven. And when you think about it, perhaps you're saying, you know, that kind of faith makes sense. That kind of faith makes sense. But that is not how faith works. In fact, faith doesn't do the work at all. And we can thank God for that. Who is doing it? It is God. It is God who's doing the work through faith. I'd like you to think of faith as a key that opens the door to God acting in our lives. If you have a bigger key ring than, if I have a bigger key ring than you do, does it matter? The size of the key ring doesn't matter. Key rings don't open doors. What opens the door? It is the key. Even a little faith will open the door for God to move the mountains and the trees and even our own hearts. So what Jesus is saying to the disciples who asked for their faith to be increased is that even if they have the smallest amount of faith, they can do great things. Even the smallest faith can grasp what God has done and is doing in our own lives. You know, we have probably all met someone during our lifetime who has lived through very difficult times. And no doubt many of us have thought about the great faith that they must have because of the troubles. I think now personally of my own mother-in-law, who has gone through a great deal of time and trouble. Even yesterday, we had to take her back to see a doctor. And I'm amazed at her faith and what she does. And I don't know that I could do the same things that my dear mother-in-law does. But that faith is strong, and we see it each and every day as we work with her. We may have even said to that person, you know, with respect and admiration, I don't think I could have faced what you have faced. And so I admire a great faith. But in response to this, I have heard also people say, my faith is no greater than anyone else's. I just didn't know what faith I had until I needed it. God helped me, and it wasn't for Him, I wouldn't have made it. So Jesus didn't need to increase the faith of those disciples that day. They already had faith. But He does assure them that even though their faith may be small, God can accomplish great things through them. And we know that He did, because all those men went on. They went on to share the good news about Jesus, even in the face of very strong opposition, being brought before rulers and judges, being put in prison, and when you think about it, all but one of the first of the disciples was killed for their faith. There are times when our confident, perhaps even overconfident faith is brought crashing down because of what is happening in our own lives. There are times when our faith seems so trivial and weak in the face of perhaps gigantic threats, perhaps to our own health, maybe it's our family, maybe it's our own self-worth. But no matter what the size and strength we consider our faith to be at any given moment, faith as small as a mustard seed, and that's pretty small, is able to uproot a mulberry tree and dump it into the sea. Not dump it, but plant it into that sea. And so this morning, we praise God. We praise God that in spite of our sins, He has given us faith, even faith as small as a mustard seed. And God, working through the faith that He has given us, will defeat the devil's temptations to sin. He will help us overcome obstacles that we face when forgiveness is also required. God working our faith, can also move mountains and trees and even our own hearts for His glory. Faith is powerful, not because of us, but because of Christ in whom faith believes. Faith, even one that is described as being the size of a mustard seed, still relies on Jesus, his love, and his strength. And that kind of faith enables all of us to rise above all kinds of circumstances that come in our lives. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Today we celebrate LWML Sunday. This is the Lutheran Women's Missionary League. And they have always lived by a mustard seed faith. There are little gifts. There are mites, boxes. And they are combined throughout our whole synod. And they make a big thing happen. It happens in mission work all across the world. Christ has been moving mulberry trees through the LWML since 1942. They are a wonderful model of what it means to be a disciple of Christ. If our congregations are the soul of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, if our pastors and workers and missionaries are the beautiful feet to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, if our seminaries and our universities are the mind of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, if the Lutheran Hour Ministries is the voice of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, then it is the LWML that is the heart of our synod. For the women of the church have taught us what it means to move those mulberry trees with just a little faith. We know, and because of their example too, that faith accomplishes, the tiniest of faith can accomplish remarkable things. We, though, can be like the disciples. At times we can feel a weakness in our faith, but today we pray. We pray for the Lord's strength. We pray that his gift of faith is anything but weak, and that he will grant to each and every one of us strength to accomplish the impossible, just as he has done for all these ladies and for the LWML these past many years, since at least 1942. My final thought I would like to leave with you today is this. It's not how much faith we have, but rather, what are we doing with the faith that God has already given us? And I will say that again. It is not how much faith we have, but rather what we are doing with the faith that God has already given us. And so we ask God to grant us willing hearts this day and able hands, as he has for the wonderful ladies of the LWML. And in God's and Jesus' precious name, we can say, Amen. And now, may the peace of God, which passes all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. And his precious people responded with a loud and glorious, Amen. Amen.